Welcome to episode number 209.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it is a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, hey, this show is for you because on this podcast, we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, a very serious topic for us today, and when we get to the interview of the week a little later on, America's national parks are in crisis. A growing near $12 billion backlog of desperately needed repairs and maintenance is seriously affecting America's national parks. We're talking about things like inadequate federal campgrounds, deteriorating or closed roads, bridges and facilities negatively impact visitor experiences and RVers in particular. And in our interview of the week, we're going to talk with Chris Borneman. He's the Senior Manager of Government Affairs for the RV Industry Association. And Chris is going to tell us what we can do to help persuade Congress to restore our national parks. Plus, of course, we have your questions, your comments, and lots of RV news and RV tips and a great off-the-beaten-path report from the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
On the road again.
No better place to be.
There is no better place to be. This is episode 209, released on September 12th, 2018. And you'll hear us talk about links and we'll share resources in this program. And as always, in the show notes, which you find at roadtrekking.com/209, you'll find links to everything we talk about. So when you hear show notes, you just go to the episode number, which is 209, and our travel blog, which is roadtrekking.com. So when we talk about it, we'll say, go to the show notes. That means roadtrekking.com/209. We'll try and remind you of that as we go along.
As this episode comes your way, we're way up north in Algonquin Provincial Park in Canada, attending one of our road trekking boondocking gatherings with a couple dozen fellow RVers. We're enjoying the beauty of the Canadian wilderness, hiking, taking a lot of pictures, and enjoying some early fall weather, though it's supposed to warm up later in the week up here. The nighttime temperatures have been in the mid-40s.
Yeah, quite a shock from where we have been. I got to say, it's kind of nice to throw on jeans and a sweatshirt. And I was trying to remember when the last time I had a pair of long pants on was. And I think it was just going to church, but that's about all I can remember. Our dog, Bo, the Norwegian Elkhound, I'll tell you this much, he is loving it. Bo has grown very weary of the heat and the humidity that we've had him in the past few months as we've been traveling throughout the southern U.S. and the Gulf Coast, and the weather in Ontario this time of the year, much more to Bo's liking.
This is a very busy week for us. We have to leave here and on Thursday start traveling to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and America's largest RV show there. We always have a ball at this show. More than 45 RV manufacturers will be displaying over 1,300 RVs here. And there are over 100 other companies that make RV accessories and provide RV-related services. We'll be shooting videos, and we have two live broadcasts we plan to do on our Facebook Road Trekking page.
Two, count them, two. Yep, we think this is a pretty big show. It's kind of the start of the 2019, the introduction of all the 2019 models. I mean, everybody's there. So we are going to try and cover it as best we can. And one of the great ways to do it is on Facebook. We go live on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/roadtrekking. And here we go. This will be in the show notes, the schedule, but we'd love to have you join because you can ask live questions when we're on like that. The first one will be Saturday at 3 p.m. We will broadcast live on our Road Trekking Facebook page from the Road Trek Erwin-Hymer display. And we will be showing off the latest in Class B RVs. So you want to tune in for that one. Also, we will be doing meet and greet appearances if you're at the show. And we will be hanging out at the Road Trek Hymer display earlier that day on Saturday and also Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you want to come by and meet us and visit up a little bit, we'd love to see you. We love meeting people and we invite you to come by if you're attending the show. If not, then tune in to those live reports on the Facebook page to get a look at what we're doing. The first one, again, 3 p.m. Saturday. And then the second one will be the next day on Sunday, also at 3 p.m. On the Facebook page. We'll go live from the show from our friends at Rad Power Bikes. They are also going to be at the show, and we'll give you a chance to meet some of those people and answer any of your questions about the stuff we've been seeing at the show. So we are really excited about it.
This has also been an exciting week for us as Mike is now well underway on his new Healthy Living program. If you heard episode 208 last week, you learned why the RV lifestyle and all the sitting while driving and eating at those great RV gathering potlucks can really put on the pounds. Yep. Anyway, Mike entered the program that is run by the weight loss expert he interviewed last week, and we've been following it faithfully. So far, so good, right?
Yep, very right. And I love the way they say we've been following it. I mean, you don't need it, but you have been doing all the work preparing the food, and it's really been good food. I've been just amazed at how good it is. So,
So hopefully get the pounds off. And I have 10 pounds that I always want to get off that I never can get off.
Yeah.
I did get it off a couple of years ago when we went to a doctor who suggested paleo.
Well, that's kind of what we're eating. Pretty much paleo, whole foods. We talked a lot about it. I don't want to go back and rehash that. But if you missed it, go back and listen to episode 208 of the podcast and you'll hear about it. And also, we do updates once a week. I promised I would be very transparent and I would share the results of this this program.
Pressure.
Well, that's the way it works for me. If I'm accountable, I need you to be accountable to stay on this thing. It's not that hard, though, so far. Of course, I've only been on it for 3 or 4 days.
You know, I can't give you enough pressure on my own. You need group pressure.
I need humiliation is what I need. So anyway, we shared it Sunday night on our Ask Us Anything live show that we do on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. And you can, if you missed that, you can go listen to that. We'll talk more about that. Every Sunday at 7 o'clock, we go on YouTube live, RVLifestyleChannel.com. And we shared the first results this past Sunday. But as I said then, several pounds. There's several pounds less of me this week than there was last week.
So that's what we've been up to. We're having a ball meeting others, traveling in our RV, and seeing North America.
Well, this part of the program is brought to you by Overnight RV Parking, a subscription service that is just terrific. I mean, how many times have you been traveling and you're on your way somewhere and you just need to spend the night? And maybe you pull into a Walmart, you know, they're pretty good most places, but in many places now, no overnight camping is allowed. More and more places are under pressure not to let you do that. And so it gets hard and you have to go to a campground and you have to check in late and find a spot. And it's just a pain. And it costs you up to $50 just to overnight. When you're just going from place A to B and you're hitting the road first thing in the morning, that's a lot of money. Well, that's why I love Overnight RV Parking. Now, they have details on over 12,000 free or nearly free overnight RV parking locations. We're also brought to you in this section by one of our other favorite services for finding places to stay, and that is AllStays Pro. We think that's perhaps the best tool for RVers who prefer to use their computers or their tablets and the bigger screens they give. AllStays Pro It just has so much information about campgrounds and free places, commercial places, state campgrounds, boondocking places. Allstate's Pro is updated literally daily. And both of those services, overnight RV parking and Allstate's Pro, have offered have agreed to offer substantial discounts to listeners of this podcast. So there's where you need to go to the show notes we talked about. Just go to roadtrekking.com/209, scroll down and just a little bit and you'll see where we have links to both of them. Overnight RV Parking and Allstays Pro. You'll never have to wonder where you're going to stay when you use those two services. And again, you get a discount if you follow the links in the show notes.
Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, this is a big story for the RV industry in North America. Mercedes-Benz has finally opened this big new factory that they've been talking about in North Charleston, South Carolina, where they will build the latest generation Sprinter van. Now, Sprinter vans have become the most popular chassis for the Class B RVs that are built by RV manufacturers around North America. And they're all using the Sprinter van. And they have not been able to keep up with the demand. The demand has been so great, it's been impossible sometimes to find chassis in a timely manner. So the wait to get your new Sprinter van from any of the manufacturers has been going up and up and up. Well, this new plan is going to help with that. And it's going to help Mercedes too, because building those cargo vans in the U.S. allows Mercedes to avoid a 25% tariff on imported commercial vehicles and trucks. At the plant opening there in South Carolina, the German automaker said that one of its first big orders here in the U.S. was a deal. You ready for this? To make 20,000 Amazon branded Sprinter vans for the new delivery service that Amazon is about to launch. So it's pretty cool. The agreement with Amazon calls for Mercedes to deliver those vans by the end of next year. That's a huge order, 20,000 vans. This new Mercedes plant, anxiously awaited by all the RV manufacturers, it's an expansion of a previous facility that assembled van kits that were imported from Germany. It includes two new buildings, one of them a 450,000 square foot paint shop and a body shop of more than 500,000 square feet. It has, this is so cool, it has a 1.2 mile conveyor that connects those two facilities. Mercedes spent about $500 million on that expansion, and the plant will have the capacity to employ 1,300 workers. They will build an estimated 40,000 vans every year at that plant. The human workers, if you wonder about this, are supported by 182 robots. About half of the vans sold in the U.S. have commercial uses. About 30% are built for RVs, and about 20% are sold as sort of those deluxe passenger shuttles and stuff like that. A big change, by the way, for the North American market is the introduction of a gasoline engine option. That won't be available until next year. But right now, they're building just continuing with the diesel engines. But next year in North America, they will start with a gasoline engine. So all the RV manufacturers are really excited about this. And if you've been one of those people who have been stuck with a long wait time for a brand new build-to-order Mercedes Sprinter-based RV, you're probably still going to have to wait a little bit, but new orders starting very soon will be filled a lot quicker.
Here's a story that is a warning to all of us in RVs to check for overhead obstructions when making turns. A recreational vehicle attempting to go through the opposite end of a Boston Market's drive-through in Santa Clarita Valley and damaged not only the RV, but the building when it became wedged under the roof overhang. Sheriff deputies said the driver was apparently trying to turn around and went through the drive-in lane without noticing that overhang. Ouch! That story doesn't say what size the RV was.
Here's another warning story. This one even sadder, very sad tragedy, actually. An 18-year-old hiker who was visiting the U.S. from Israel died last Wednesday after losing his balance and slipping off a cliff at Yosemite National Park while he was trying to take a selfie. Happened at the edge of Nevada Fall at the park, and he fell over 800 feet to the bottom. Now, this happens a lot, these daredevil selfie takers, and we have seen it ourselves. We've seen hikers try to take selfies in many dangerous places many times, and this story is just a very tragic reminder that no photo is worth taking such a chance.
Okay, rounding out our news of the week, something a little lighter. HBO has a new original series that will start next month called Camping. It stars Jennifer Garner as an uptight, Instagram-obsessed mom who plans a camping trip for her husband to celebrate his 45th birthday with a group of friends. Things start to go sideways almost immediately. And from looking at the trailer, it appears there are many funny things that any camper can relate to. The show premieres Sunday, October 14th. We'll put a link to the official trailer and information on the series on the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/209.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a very special price for listeners of this podcast. Hey, I mentioned it earlier. Rad Power Bikes will be at the America's largest RV show in Hershey, Pennsylvania this week. Jennifer and I will stop by that booth. We'll be there Sunday afternoon. Look for us about 3 o'clock or so, maybe a little earlier. We're going to do a live Facebook broadcast from the Rad Power booth and display there at Hershey. So tune into that if you can't get to the show. But check out Rad Power Bikes. They have a number of different models, all different sizes. We have the city bike model. Jennifer has the step through, which is the one without that center bar that we used to call them girls' bikes, but now everybody uses them because you just don't have to swing your leg up over them. I've got the guy's version of that with the center bar. It's kind of like a beach cruiser, and we just love those models. Thing about Rad Power Bikes, if you've been wondering about an e-bike, is they are a consumer direct brand. That means buyers get a premium electric bike. You don't have to pay the huge markups caused by dealers and third-party retailers. They will ship it free. It's very simple to hook up. And if you use the code ROADTREKKING at checkout, you'll get an extra $75 off your price. So check them out. They've got a number of different models. They're all very cool. We even have a link on the show notes for this to a video that we did on our Rad Power Bike models. And again, tune in. If you can't get to the Hershey show, tune in 3 o'clock on Sunday, and you'll see Jen and I, and we'll talk from that show, and we'll be at their display. And if you can't, if you are there, come by and visit us in person. We'd love to see you on Sunday afternoon. So check them out. Their website is radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Could you please address the pros and cons of nitrogen-filled tires and travel trailers? Nitrogen seems to be difficult to locate, and wondered if you can put regular air in with the nitrogen tires. Thank you.
I think we had this question a few months ago, and since then, it has become very popular. Have you noticed, Jennifer, when you look around, you might see that the color of those tire valve caps on some RV tires are green. Have you noticed that?
I have not.
Well, I've noticed them, several of them up there. And what that means is that they have nitrogen in them. And that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. They're putting in nitrogen instead of compressed air. And it's very neat. Besides being green, not necessarily good for the environment, but green color, it does save green cash because those nitrogen-filled tires are really pretty efficient. Here's the thing. It isn't necessarily a new thing, by the way. Many years, some of the big truck fleets, the U.S. military and the FAA and heavy highway equipment operators, NASCAR drivers, for example, have used nitrogen-filled tires for a couple of reasons. One, they stay cooler. And the big thing is they maintain a consistent tire pressure. So filling tires with nitrogen instead of air is slowly becoming kind of a mainstream practice that you'll find at big tire retailers. They like to advertise that as a money-saving alternative for all vehicles, including RVs. And the thing is they maintain that consistent pressure. And that, you know, maintains a longer tread life on your tires. It's pretty cool. Inconsistent or under inflation is minimized with nitrogen. Air leaks from tires 3 to 4 times faster than nitrogen does. So that's why people are using it. Now here to your question, regular RV tires can be filled with nitrogen. And it sounds like you already have them on yours. So there are no special tires or anything you have to purchase. Some tire retailers look at providing nitrogen for tire inflation as kind of a marketing tool, a little bonus offered in exchange for customer loyalty. And maybe they might want to charge you extra for nitrogen if you didn't buy your tires there, but many places will just fill it up for free. But you asked the question specifically about what happens if you have to fill it up and there's no nitrogen available. You can put in air. No problem. Won't hurt you at all. Not at all. And maybe when you get back to your main tire detailer, they can take the air out and replace it with nitrogen again. But it's well worth considering. Now, you may not be able to drive up at just about any gas station. In fact, you won't. And you can't necessarily expect to find nitrogen to top off your air pressure. So I found a link to a locator for nitrogen air. And they list places around the United States and Canada that will fill tires with nitrogen. So I'll put that link in the show notes. And that's at roadtrekking.com/209. And you can scroll down under the news of the week, or the questions rather, the questions of the week, and you'll see a link to that there. So there you go.
That is really interesting. I'm going to be looking for green caps now.
Yeah, I've noticed them 2 or 3 times. Like a couple times I wanted to point them out to you, and you were somewhere else. I think you were washing the windshield or doing something. But yeah, I'm seeing them more and more. And, you know, we're almost at the stage in our RV where we want to buy some new tires. And I think we'll have them when they put nitrogen in. Because we certainly put a lot of miles on.
Yeah, we're kind of like a pit crew when we stop to get gas. Yep. You're getting gas, I'm walking the dog, I'm getting the windshield.
Yep,
it is. We're kind of running all over the place.
That's just what we look like. It really is. All right, we got another question. Let's listen to this one. And this is about one of our favorite drives, one of our favorite places. Here we go.
How bad are the crosswinds in South Dakota pulling a camper trailer in mid-September? Thank you.
Well, we have made that trip. Many times in our Class B road trek camper van. And that trip, of course, is on I-90. It goes east to west, or west to east, whichever way you're going. And South Dakota is one long stretch of I-90. It measures 410 plus a little bit more miles from Minnesota to Montana. And the reason I think you're asking about crosswinds is because almost all of it is across very wide open prairie. And crosswinds are certainly a factor there because there's no trees, there's no structures to build to break the wind. The interstate, in fact, is closed several times a year at various stretches along it because of serious crosswinds. Semi-tractor trailers get blown over from time to time from those wind gusts. Each of the exits have little gates that they can close it off so people can't come on. And it's also very susceptible. They're strongest in the winter. And they get some blizzards there on I-90. And they're strong in spring. But they can be present anytime. Now, you ask about September right about now. I think that's probably a pretty good time to go. I wouldn't worry too much. But you should know one other thing about I-90 in South Dakota, and that is that the speed limit is 80 miles an hour. So if you're pulling a trailer, you're going to be traveling at a lesser rate of speed than most of the traffic on there, I think. So be sure and stay in the right lane, because you got to know that besides those crosswinds, there may be some buffeting going on as you're passed by other people who can go a little faster than you can. By the way, I should note that 80 miles an hour is the speed limit there on I-90, and they mean 80 miles an hour. There is no grace. The state troopers will give no wiggle room. I saw a story the other day of somebody getting ticketed, spending a $100 ticket for going 83 in an 80 mile an hour zone. So they will stop you. They will ticket you if you go over 80 by even a couple of miles an hour. Anyway, that said, we love South Dakota and we love I-90. We did a video. Remember that last year?
It was fun.
On our top five places to stop for sightseeing while traveling I-90. A lot of people say, oh, it's so long and it's so boring. Well, we've got some great places for you to stop along the way. And we'll put a video link to that in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/209. But just talking about I-90 makes me want to go back out there.
It does. I enjoy that stretch.
Yeah, I do too. I think that wide open sky and the prairie, it's
peaceful.
Yep, it's
and
beautiful.
You can get wind lots of places, not just there.
Right, you certainly can. Hey, this part of the podcast is sponsored by Steinbring Motor Coach, Road Trek's dealer in the Chain of Lakes region, beautiful area of Minnesota, just west of the Twin Cities. They're in Garfield, Minnesota. The thing about Steinbring is their reputation. They are built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and excellent service. Since 1917, the Steinbring family has been bringing you the best products and service within the transportation industry. Their sales staff is probably one of the most knowledgeable RV sales teams that I have ever encountered. Be sure and talk to Rich and his guys up there if you have any questions about RVs. Some people will know, what do I want? Do I want a Class A, Class B, diesel pusher? Do I want gas? Do I want a toy hauler? Well, talk to Rich and his team at Steinbring, because they'll help you understand what is the best fit for you. They're named consistently a blue ribbon dealer, a top dealer in the country by all the leading measurement campaigns out there. Steinbring has brand new Newmar Class A motorhomes, as well as brand new Road Trek Class Bs, and they've got a complete line of previously owned RVs in every size and every shape. Award-winning sales, award-winning service. You want to check them out. It's Steinbring Motor Coach, and tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
Well, we have noticed it ourselves. America's national parks need some maintenance work. Traffic jams, bad roads, and campgrounds that are a little less than desirable, you know?
Well, the roads always need work.
They do, but they really need them now. In our Interview of the Week segment here, we are going to talk with Chris Borneman. And Chris is the Senior Manager of Government Affairs for the RV Industry Association. We're going to speak very specifically about the growing backlog of desperately needed repairs and maintenance that affect all of our national parks and public lands. Things are in the infrastructure system have been so neglected, almost $12 billion of neglect. Now, we've talked about this before, but there's a chance now, a bipartisan chance in Congress. There's legislation pending in both the House and the Senate that would restore our parks. But as the RV Industry Association says, they need help from the industry and they need help from RVers in particular on convincing our Congress people that we do think this is an important issue. I think you will enjoy this issue, and we will also have links to how you can get involved. But first, let's bring on the program Chris Borneman. Again, he is Senior Manager of Government Affairs for the RV Industry Association.
Hi,
Well, joining us right now from Sedona, Arizona, at the National State Park Directors Conference there is Chris Borneman from the RV Industry Association. Chris, thank you for making some time. Wow, you got a beautiful background there. those red rocks of Sedona, we all love those.
You can't beat this. I got the best office today.
You do. So, Chris, we're talking about national parks and this backlog of almost $12 billion. What does that, why should the RV, the typical RVer be concerned about this? I mean, we all love our national parks, but 12 billion bucks, help us understand why we have a stake in this too.
Absolutely, Mike. So right now it's almost $12 billion just at the National Park Service alone. And it's closer to $16 billion within all of the Department of Interior assets. And so, you know, at a time when the RV industry is growing at record levels and RV overnight stays at the National Park Service has been declining from over 4 million overnights in the early 1980s to only 2.5 million overnights in 2017 due to outdated infrastructure, deferred maintenance needs, and limited RV camping ability. To really chip away at this backlog maintenance is extremely important to our industry, especially because recent research shows that 98% of all RVers purchase their RVs to go camping at some point. And this inadequate and outdated federal campgrounds, water systems, and utilities really reduce visitation and enjoyment for RVers, and deteriorating roads, bridges, and campgrounds, you know, it really negatively impacts the RV experience.
Let's talk just a little bit. One of the things you just said that I want to just draw on and unpack a little bit more is we all know how crowded our national parks are. They are at record levels of attendance, but the number of people camping there, you say, is the studies show, is actually declining?
So at a time when the industry is booming, you know, we're having year-over-year record levels in shipments from manufacturer to dealer. Private campgrounds are posting double-digit growth. State parks are posting huge growth. And within the national park system, unfortunately, we're seeing a decline over the last 30, 40 years or so, just due to inadequate maintenance and the deferred maintenance backlog just really increasing. And unfortunately, the National Park Service understands it. They get it. They're great partners of ours. They just don't have the funds to fix it.
Well, when we talk about deferred maintenance, what are we talking about? What kind of issues are there affecting the parks that the average RVer will notice when they're out there? Obviously, they're noticing something because they can't get in those campgrounds or they're staying away from them. But what kind of things are deferred maintenance?
Absolutely. I mean, the most visible are going to be your roads, your bridges, your tunnels. You know, obviously, those are important to RVers to be able to go in and access these iconic lands. The campground infrastructure is outdated, bathhouses. A lot of the National Park Service campground infrastructure was built back in the Eisenhower era, and it just hasn't been kept up to date, and it's not modernized. You're not going to find too many electrical hookups. Luckily, some of the National Park Service campgrounds are now reaching out to and really embracing partnerships and concessionaire services to come on and have private industry come in and work with the National Park Service to run these campgrounds and invest some serious capital for a small return on investment, and you know, hoping to get a 20-year lease from the National Park Service. But in no way is the National Park Service selling off the lands or anything like that. This is a strict agreement, a contract between these concessionaire partnerships and the National Park Service. And there's a lot of restrictions that are on the concessionaires too. So it's not a free-for-all. They're not putting a water slide in the Grand Canyon or anything like that. They're just coming in and they're running the parks efficiently, investing some money and updating that campground infrastructure amongst, you know, lodging, food service, and some other amenities and facilities that you likely see at a lot of National Park Service lands.
Now, where's the problem here? The buck stops, I guess, with Congress, right? And that's what the RV Industry Association is urging the industry to do, to start telling their representatives in Congress, all the individuals, the RV users, and of course the industry. This is a serious issue. It's an economic issue, isn't it, for the whole country?
Absolutely. Right now, the RV industry has an economic impact of $50 billion. A recent BA study came out and showed that the outdoor recreation industry has an impact of $673 $1 billion and 2% of the GDP. This is a major powerhouse industry. So, you know, Congress must address the $12 billion backlog maintenance on the National Park Service lands and the $16 billion within DOI. Luckily, we have some great champions in Congress right now. And they've in the Senate, they've introduced the Restore Our Parks Act, Senate Bill 3172. And in the House, they've introduced the Restore Our Parks and Public Lands Act, H.R. 6510. And pretty much these pieces of legislation are identical, except for the House bill, the Restore Our Parks and Public Lands Act, will not only include the National Park Service, it will also include U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Land Management, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Indian Education, School, and Maintenance backlog as well, while the Senate version would include just the National Park Service.
Now, this is these bills are bipartisan. I mean, we hear, you know, I mean, all we have to do is look at the news tonight, and we can see how divided our Congress is politically. Yeah. But these bills have widespread bipartisan support. Where is the reluctance to this? Why are we having such an issue getting something that seems so critical to the economy and to the American public? Where's the problem?
Sure. You know, we're talking about some major funding here, and, you know, Congress has a lot on their plate. And, you know, I am excited to say, as you mentioned, that this is bipartisan legislation. It has the support of the administration. There's about over 100 congressmen and women that have co-sponsored the House bill. And there are about 30 senators that have co-sponsored the Senate bill. Secretary Zinke from the Department of Interior and his leadership staff at the National Park Service and other federal land agencies are very supportive of this legislation. And we're doing everything we can from the RV industry and from the Outdoor Recreation Roundtable, which is a newly formed coalition of about 20 of the leading outdoor recreation associations, to really get out there, make this issue known, and rally the RV community. I know RVers love their parks, they love their campgrounds, you know, and this is an issue that's extremely important. And just to give you a quick rundown, I'll give you the high level. I won't give you the DC interpretation, but, you know, these bills will create a 5-year funding stream for high priority deferred maintenance needs. The fund will have an annual cap of about $1.3 billion a year, and the fund would receive 50% of the available mineral and energy receipts from federal lands and waters, including renewable energy sources like wind and solar. And this is the important part, that are not already allocated by law to other programs like the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which we know is so important, especially for the states. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, keep going. It's just making too much sense. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why Congress is stalled.
No, it makes perfect sense. You know, it's a great solution. They're developing on federal lands anyway, and you know, the federal lands should have a cut of this money to use for these high priority deferred maintenance projects. They break it down for the House bill, considering that it's going to include other agencies. They do it by portion of deferred maintenance under DOI. So 80% would go to the Park Service. 65% of that would be for non-transportation projects like fixing historical sites, visitor services and facilities, and recreation assets like campgrounds that we all love. And the 35% of it would go towards transportation projects like roads, bridges, and tunnels. And then out of that 100%, 80% goes to National Park, 10% goes to U.S. Fish and Wildlife, 5% goes to BLM, and the other 5% will go to the Indian Education, School, and Maintenance backlog.
So let's get to how we can help. I will put links on the show notes for our podcast and in the description for our RV Lifestyle channel here on YouTube.
Fantastic.
And we'll put this link, it's right on the RV Industry Association page, website. Talk about this, how we can urge our members of Congress. This doesn't take a lot of time. You can actually fill out a form. Walk through that process a little bit.
It's an extremely simple process. We have an action alert out right now on rvact.org. That's rvact.org. And we're urging the RV community to reach out to their members of Congress and ask for their support and to co-sponsor this bill. You know, anybody that loves RVing, loves camping, loves being outdoors, loves to visit our iconic national parks, and all our federal lands and waters, we need your help. Now's the time. We're gaining a lot of traction in Congress right now. We have the support of the administration. Now's the time to reach out and really encourage your members of Congress to support this bill. Let's get it. Let's get a hearing. Let's get it out of committee, and let's get it done.
Well, I'm going to put again a link to it's RV Act. People can, there's a form, you fill in your name, your email, your address, yep. And then it walks you right through where you can get directly to your representative in Congress. Well, Chris, we will follow up with you a little later on in the year to see how this all works. I want to thank you for making some time. And I know our audience is just going to zoom right in on what their priorities are. We love our national parks. Mm-hmm. And we're honest about it. We know that they have fallen on some pretty hard times. This will do a great job in stopping it. Chris Borneman, thank you so much for joining us from the RV Industry Association.
Mike, I want to thank you, and I want to thank all of your listeners and viewers. Really appreciate your support. Thank you so much. Please visit rvact.org. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's let you and I be the first two, after we heard that from Chris, to fill in that form.
All right.
And it's a great form. There really is bipartisan support from Congress on this. They just need to hear from you and me and the RV community out there, listeners, that that this is an important thing. We have a video version of our interview with Chris, and you'll find that on the show notes for this episode or our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. And also a full transcript of this, and we have the links to the rvact.org survey that he talked about, where you're asked to let Congress know. It's not actually a survey. It's a little form you fill out, and it goes right to your congressperson. The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country, as long as you tell them you heard about it on the RV podcast. At Sunshine State RVs, you are going to find an absolutely huge selection of used Class B camper van RVs. In fact, the largest used selection of Class B RVs anywhere in North America. So whatever you're looking for, no matter what brand, Road Trek, Hymer, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, they've got one. They've got several. They've got a whole lot filled with really excellent conditioned used motorhomes in the Class B category. They also sell new ones. They've got brand new Road Treks and Coachmen, and they've got brand new Chinooks and a couple other brands. But what everybody kind of is just amazed at is how well they restore these older used RVs that they take in. They all go through a 172-point inspection in which they make sure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as they do the outside. They turn on every component, make sure it operates. They thoroughly clean them. They detail them inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks and replace any silicone caulking. So whether it's a new Class B or a used one, you check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com. And as I said earlier, that if you tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast, you'll find that Nick and his crew will give you a free delivery to your driveway anywhere in the continental U.S. That's a pretty good deal.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right, time to check in Off the Beaten Path with a place that's at once off the beaten path, but also very familiar to many of us in this audience. Here's Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Recently, we spent a weekend at a music festival in New York's Catskill Mountains. The couple camped next to us were from Vermont, and we visited about the places we'd been, the places they'd been, and what we like to do when traveling. Next morning, they provided us with a handwritten list of things to do in Vermont based on our conversation of the previous day. But, said Vicky, don't leave New York without going to see the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts. Come Monday, we rolled out of the festival grounds and set the GPS as she directed.
It was an hour's drive to the rural location, and as we approached, we could see a big peace sign mowed into the grassy hillside. The hill and the mowing job made it unmistakable. This was Woodstock, site of the 1969 music festival that defined a generation. The Arts Center stood high on the hill where once a makeshift kitchen had fed 500,000 hungry mouths. Just over the hill was a modern outdoor performance venue with ample parking, toilets, and food kiosks to service concert goers.
The Arts Center building is spacious, cool, and restrained. It seems to strike a balance with the frenzied energy of the event itself. The displays are thoughtfully laid out, but don't hold back when it comes to presenting the outrageous nature of what happened that August weekend. Hundreds of cars were abandoned in the median of the highway when traffic came to a complete standstill, and folks got out and walked, some more than 10 miles, to Yazger's farm. The first attendees arrived before the ticket booths were built, and within hours, the organizers threw open the gates and made it a free festival.
A New York City commune, the Hog Farm, had been engaged to provide food stands. Their supplies and capacity were rapidly outstripped. Area residents pitched in, buying out the entire production of local farms and preparing food in garbage can-sized batches to feed the crowd. Because of the jammed roads, helicopters were required to bring in the performers. As the rain continued and the need became dire, the Army flew in teams to staff makeshift medical facilities. Despite the nearly unimaginable challenge of coping with 500,000 people crowded into the space, the event was remarkably free of violence and mishap. 2 people died, and maybe as many as 4 babies were born.
The museum presents a comprehensive look at the event. The carefully laid plans of the experienced group of promoters are documented, as is the extensive publicity campaign that brought in a national audience, all in the era before the internet, and in the early years of television. There is much information about the notable personalities of the movement, civil rights, ecology, women's empowerment, and social experimentation. There's also lots about the music. A 30-foot-high surround screen puts you right in front of the stage for some of the iconic performances.
Best, though, are the first-hand accounts of those who were there. Teenage attendees report the challenge of dealing with the mud and standing in line for half a day to use an overflowing porta potty. Local residents describe efforts to deal with the obvious need for food and medical help. Politicians tell about the effect of the event on national policy, and musicians recall the way in which it was a watershed moment in their craft.
Literally in the middle of nowhere, this fascinating and comprehensive museum is worth a drive down a patchwork of back roads for anyone who wants to know what it was like on that weekend, or who wants to understand the social and political currents that made it happen. On top of that, much like a visit to Gettysburg or the Edmund Pettus Bridge, standing on the site of the stage and looking out at the grassy hillside felt a bit like standing on hallowed ground. Come, see, and look for us, Patty and Tom Burkett, out here off the beaten path.
This week's Off the Beaten Path is brought to you by Harvest Hosts, a membership site that provides truly unique overnight stops at wineries, farms, and attractions free of charge. If you've had it with having to spend $30, $50 to overnight at a crowded campground, or if you're tired of being awakened by all the noise and the lights at a Walmart, Harvest Hosts offers overnight stops in all sorts of out-of-the-way places, wineries across North America, farms of all types, from lavender farms to maple sugar farms to fruit orchards to vegetable fair. You need to be self-contained, and you must call ahead and arrive during business hours, but your stay is absolutely free. Although, to be polite, they expect you to kind of buy a bottle of wine or some fruit if it's a farm, something like that. It costs $49 a year to belong to Harvest Hosts, but because as a listener of this RV podcast, we can offer you a special deal. You can take 10% off that cost by using the discount code HHFRIENDS. Now, we've got it all built in. If you just go to roadtrekking.com/HarvestHosts. It's all taken care of for you there. But if you go to the Harvest Host site itself, under the coupon code, use HHFRIENDS, and you will get 10% off the cost of it. We love Harvest Hosts. You can find some truly amazing places to stay, and you get to meet and experience a lifestyle that perhaps you'd go right past if you were driving the interstate. So you check them out. Harvest Host, and go to our link to get that special discount. You can learn all about them, roadtrekking.com/harvesthosts.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, it is in full swing, the fall RV show starting this coming weekend. Let's start with September 12th through the 16th. It's Hershey, Pennsylvania. This is America's largest RV show. It's at the Giant Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania, a great venue. Jennifer and I will be there, and we'll be shooting videos and meeting people. You can find us Saturday and Sunday, the 15th and 16th, from 11 to 1. We'll be at the Road Trek Erwin Heimer display. And then on Sunday, we'll be over at 3 o'clock. We'll be at the also at the Rad Power Bike display. We'll be doing live Facebook reports on our Facebook page. But try and get there if you can. If not, tune into our Facebook. But it is a big show, the Hershey, America's largest RV show. Now, there's other shows this weekend, and I'm going to give you a quick rundown on them. And hopefully there's one near you. September 13th through the 15th. At the Norris Penrose Event Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It is the Great American RV Show in Colorado Springs. September 13th through the 16th, it's the Fall Maryland RV Super Sale at the Maryland State Fairgrounds in Timonium, Maryland. September 13th through the 16th, the Portland Fall RV and Van Show at the Portland Expo Center in Portland, Oregon. September 13th through the 16th, down in Dallas, Texas, it's the Southwest RV Super Show at the Dallas Market Hall. On September 14th through the 16th, in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Cobb Galleria Center there, it's the Georgia RV and Camper Show. We've got direct links to all of these shows so you can get all the information you need on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/209.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the rvpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, busy fall season here. Who says RV travel ends at Labor Day? In fact, coming up in October, it's some of the busiest camping weekends of the year as everybody gets ready for Halloween. Our campgrounds across the country have all sorts of really cool Halloween gatherings. We'll tell you about that later on in one of the future podcasts, but make plans to do that if you can. Hey, thanks for listening. If you'd like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, you can record a voicemail message. Just click that right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. We invite you to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher, TunedIn, Spotify. And of course, you can listen to it on the roadtrekking.com website as well. New episodes of the podcast are released every Wednesday, prompt and bright and early Wednesday morning. We invite you to be a part of our road trekking RV lifestyle community. Join our newsletter. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers, almost 30,000 of you now, every Monday morning. First thing in Monday morning, it'll be in your email box. You can subscribe to that from the blog itself, roadtrekking.com. All right, from Algonquin Provincial Park in Canada, on the way to Hershey in Pennsylvania in the RV show, I'm Mike Wendland, and on behalf of our dog, Bo, and my wife, Jennifer, I'm saying happy trails, everybody. See you out there on the road.